At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
A factual data creation facility production. Live, well, sort of, from the Factual Data Creation Studio South, it's the OFNT Podcast, episode 231, which I'm calling It's Raining Pixels. Yeah, Google held its Made by Google event last week, and I watched it. I also had a 12.5-hour drive down to Tennessee Thursday. The culprit for the delay, this time, anyway, was a truck accident in Pennsylvania. Also contributing was being that it was a weekday, traffic, especially heading out of New York, was heavier than we're used to. That's because we usually travel on Sundays. At least I have a real mattress to sleep on this time. I even bought a couple of expensive Casper brand pillows on Friday. They set me back $50 each. And that's the most I've ever spent on pillows in my life. Well, enough of me talking about my boring life.
Yes.
Let's start the show. Before I start, I'd like to wish my son, John, a happy birthday, which he'll be celebrating tomorrow. He stayed up in New York to celebrate with friends instead of coming down to Tennessee to celebrate with us old farts. And I don't blame him. So happy birthday, John. I hope you have a good one. We'll see you soon. I guess next year you'll be stuck celebrating with us.
Oh, no.
No.
There's worse people to celebrate birthdays with. At least I like to think so. Tech news. Google held its annual Made by Google event ahead of its usual October date, most likely to avoid the dreaded iPhone season. Before I begin telling you what the Big G released, I'll tell you what I didn't see while watching the event live on YouTube. And that would be a new high-end Chromebook. This omission, combined with the earlier in the year announcement of the Chromebook Plus standard and Google's intention to basically combine Chrome OS and Android, convinces me that Google is easing off the world's most advanced thin client operating system. It seems they're just pushing it off to manufacturing partners, and going forward, Chrome OS will be in sort of a maintenance mode. Disappointing. Well, at least to me. Moves like this make me wary to enter into the Google ecosystem because you never know what Google will lose interest in next. And I'm sure many feel the way I do. I like living within the tight ecosystem that Apple has constructed and using hardware all from one manufacturer. In my old age, I don't have time to be mixing and matching hardware from different companies and the incompatibilities you eventually run into. For the non-Android world, Samsung appears to be the only choice if you want a homogeneous hardware-software ecosystem. Well, sort of. Anyway, one thing Google doesn't seem to be losing interest in, and that's the company's Gemini AI. I sure hope that the bottom doesn't fall out of this market. Well, time will tell. I'll skip all the whiz-bang AI announcements, fails and all, and get right to the hardware.
Thank you.
As the leaks suggested, the camera island of these modern pixels, which give the phone its distinctive look, have been modified. Instead of stretching the width of the rear, the island is now more centered and a bit thicker. I personally like the new design, but many on the intertubes don't agree with me. To each their own. The Pixel 9 and all of its iterations are powered by the new Google Tensor G4 chip, which besides the usual performance increases, is more efficient. Hey, efficiency is good, right?
Yes.
Google says that this improved efficiency will result in a 20% increase in battery life. The basic Pixel 9 will come with 12 gigabytes of RAM, while the Pro versions will come standard with 16 gigabytes of RAM. The poor man's Pixel 9 features a 6.3 Actua display with a resolution of 1080 by 2424, while the Pro versions come with either a 6.3-inch Super Actua display with a 1280 by 2856 resolution, or the larger 6.8-inch version with a 1344 by 2992 screen resolution, and of course that equips the Pro XL model. The base model has 128 to 256 gigabytes of storage, while the Pros go from 128 gigabytes all the way up to 1 terabyte of storage. The Google 9's rear cameras are a 50-megapixel main and a 48-megapixel ultra-wide, and the front camera is a 10.5-megapixel shooter. The Pro models add a 48-megapixel 5x telephoto lens and a 42-megapixel front camera. That's a lot of megapixels for a front camera, don't you think? Both the standard and Pro models have a 4700 mAh battery, with the Pro XL having a larger 5060 mAh battery. Google harped on the new weather app that the Pixel 9 lineup will come with, especially the AI-generated morning summary feature. Yeah, I think that's a good use of AI. Oh, and another feature included with all models is an upgraded ultrasonic behind-the-screen fingerprint reader. Of course, all these phones will receive Android and security updates for the next 7 years, and that's a good thing. The Pixel 9 starts at $799, the Pixel Pro starts at $999, and the Pro XL version starts at $1,080. And that's a $100 bump up from last year's Pixels, which garnered plenty of complaints in YouTube comment sections. There were no radical hardware upgrades to the Pixels this year, but I think the overall design is much better, even if making the phones more Apple iPhone looking, which was another point of contention on the intertubes. First reviews by connected YouTubers say the feel of the new Pixel phone is much improved. Well, I like the looks of both the Android user interface and the Pixel phones themselves, and I was, and still am, tempted to get one.
What?
But let's face it, that's not going to happen. We'll just have to see if Google has fixed the problems that have plagued Pixel phones in the past. That's like mediocre battery life, screen glitches, and overheating. To be fair, I never really encountered these problems on any Pixel or even Nexus devices while I was still buying them. The only problem I had with them, or any other brand of Android-powered phones I've ever used, is an overall slowing down of them due to the Android operating system itself. And that's a problem that can be chalked up to things like Java and the piling up of added features. Something you can compare to the old Symbian mobile operating system. A bloat problem that after a while just can't be fixed without a major rewrite. Perhaps AI can solve this. Who knows? Now on to the other hardware announcements. Oh, wait a minute. What am I forgetting? Well, the star of the Pixel lineup. The Pixel 9 Pro Fold. Besides having all of the features of the standard Pro Pixels, it has that foldable 8-inch screen. The Pro Fold is the successor to the highly regarded, well, at least for foldable phones, Pixel Fold. This year's foldable is noticeably thinner than the older model, which I'm not really familiar with, but I'll take Google's word on it. The Pro Fold has an Actua 6.3-inch 1080 by 2424 external screen, which many early reviewers say is the best external screen on any foldable phone. The 8-inch flexible internal screen features a resolution of 2076 by 2152 OLED screen. The Pro Fold boasts a 4650 mAh battery, which Google says will provide over 24 hours of battery life.
Wow.
Yeah, that one will remain to be seen. 16 gigs of RAM and memory and up to 512 gigs of storage is available. The rear cameras are the same as the Pixel Pro shooters, while the front and inner cameras are the same as the non-Pro Pixel 9. The Pro Fold also adds face unlock to the fingerprint unlock of the regular Pixel 9s, but doesn't feature the ultrasonic fingerprint reader. The Pro Fold does come with Google VPN, though. Now hang on, didn't Google announce that they were discontinuing their VPN service?
Yes.
Oh well, I guess they're keeping it around just for this Pixel Fold Pro model. Now the thinking behind this must be that the purchaser of this type of phone will be using it as their main computing device in lieu of a traditional computer. The Pixel 9 Fold starts at $1,799. Expensive, but compared to Samsung, I guess it's not too expensive. Now, I can see buying this or other models of foldable phones if you want an affordable computing device that can double as an entertainment hub and a communication device. I'm sure there's a market for such a device, but as I've stated before, it's still a niche market. This type of foldable mobile computing device would be best suited for consumers in developing countries, in my opinion, but at these high prices, make them unobtainable for them. A shame, really. Okay, to wrap this up, we had a new larger Pixel watch with slightly thinner bezels than the last model, and the Pixel Buds Pro 2, which are slightly smaller than the last models, but now feature a Tensor chip within, giving these earbuds Apple AirPods Pro-like capabilities. I like the look of Samsung's equivalent watch and earbud products compared to Google's offerings. If you want to learn more about the Pixel phone lineup along with the watch and earbuds, well, I recommend watching the Made by Google event replay on YouTube. Be forewarned, though, the event is very AI heavy. According to a report on Bloomberg.com, the U.S. Department of Justice is considering breaking up Alphabet, the massive business conglomeration of which Google is a major part of. This after a federal judge ruled that Google illegally monopolized the online search and advertising market. I feel this won't happen because then the case could be made to do the same with Apple, though Apple doesn't have a search engine nor does the company sell advertising. Like I've previously stated, I'd like to see the consumer have a choice of search engine while setting up their device and Google not to be able to pay off a manufacturer in order to become the default search engine. Another thing that can happen is Google being forced into sharing data with its competitors. Well, all that would do is spread your personal data even further over the web. According to the article, Google divesting the Android operating system is also being seriously discussed, which would be a good thing, but it won't happen. That's because Apple would be targeted to do the same. If Apple had to divest iOS, that would destroy the company. I feel that if anything is divested from Google, it should be its search engine and ad business, AdWords. These legal cases and judgments tend to move slow, so it'll be a while before we learn Google's fate. Quartz.com has an article whose headline reads, quote, "A ton of Social Security numbers got stolen as hackers take 3 billion private records," unquote. Well, another week, another major hack. This time, data broker, National Public Data, a company that provides background checks and criminal records to private investigators, staffing agencies, and human resource departments, was the victim. Since the hack, the personal records have been posted online. Oh, joy. These records include people's names, mailing addresses, social security numbers, and more. This information is everything an identity thief needs, all in one convenient package. As someone who has had their identity stolen once and has foiled numerous attempts since, my advice is to freeze your credit records with all three of the credit bureaus out there. Yeah, it's inconvenient, especially for young folk, but at least for me, it has stopped or at least slowed down these piece of garbage criminals from attempting to steal my identity. The real problem here is the amount of data about you that's being scooped up by all the apps you use, web pages that you visit, etc. Heck, even smart TVs are collecting data about you. This data is then sold to the so-called data brokers who in turn sell your info to the highest bidder, be it legit companies, criminals, or even foreign governments. Just last week, my wife and I, along with my son, each received a letter from Ticketmaster, a service we haven't used in years, that our data was compromised because of a hack. Nowadays, it seems I get a letter similar to this every week. As I've ranted about before, until companies that basically demand your data from you in order to do business with them are held accountable for losing your data, this will just keep continuing. I'm sort of fortunate that I was the victim of the U.S. government's Office of Personnel Management hack back in 2015. That's the hack that saw all the records of people who ever put in for a job with the federal government stolen. Now, how could I have been fortunate because of this hack, you might ask? Well, I'll tell you. Firstly, this particular hack was done by a nation state.
China.
And the data was most likely used for a database, not for identity theft. Well, not for a low-level guy like me anyway. Secondly, the U.S. government provided the victims of the hack a credit monitoring service, and it's a good one. If some person or entity checks my credit or attempts to open some sort of account, I'm immediately alerted. Since freezing my credit report, I haven't had any of the latter. Another thing that should be done is to increase the legal penalties for data theft. But then again, what do I know? I'm just an aging pensioner with a microphone and good internet service.
Yes?
As far as this data broker hack, while I'm not a fan of big government, something should be done to regulate them. California state IDs can now be stored in Apple Wallet and Google Wallet is the headline of a recent article on Engadget.com. And so starts the inevitable march towards digital currency, voting, passports, citizenship, and anything else the powers that be can move to the digital realm. They'll sell it to the public as being convenient, secure, and for your safety. Years ago, I reported on the FedNow program that has laid the groundwork for this transformation. California follows Arizona in implementing this first baby step into the brave new world, having had this since 2022. You're probably wondering why I'm so against this digitization of our world. Well, I'm cynical about such things, especially when governments around the world are rushing headlong into it. Remember, I worked for the U.S. government in one form or another for over 40 years, so I think I'm qualified to judge the mindset here. Start by asking yourself, what's in it for them? I can tell you what's in it for the government with one word, and that word is control. I'll give you a couple of examples. Maybe you like beer, and you like to drink some after a hard day at work, and while watching your favorite sport on television. During your last physical, your doctor finds that your liver is fatty and recommends you cut back on drinking beer, all alcohol in fact. You take the good doctor's advice and do cut back on your alcoholic beverage intake. Well, in a matter of days, your digitized medical report makes its way to your medical insurer. Or if you have a national health care service, it arrives at a screening board. If you have insurance, it'll just jack up your monthly premiums. If you have a national health service, they'll notify the authority in charge of digital currency. So the next time you try using your hard-earned digital currency to purchase an alcoholic beverage, whether at the local pub or the corner store, you'll be denied that purchase, and there's nothing you can do about it. Fun, right? Say you're posting some naughty stuff online, like disagreeing with the government agenda. Either the digital platform you posted on, or some government agency, or maybe one of their not-for-profit NGOs will report you. You'll come to find out that your digital funds have been frozen, leaving you high and dry. Yeah, but don't worry, after a stint at a rehabilitation center, you'll be just fine. Though you'll find that you can no longer post online and that you've made it onto some sort of list and they'll be keeping an eye on you, for your own safety, of course. Now you may think I'm exaggerating, but am I? And that's why cash is king around the old fart household. At least while hard cash is still being allowed. Tech I'm using. I brought the old 47-inch LG television down with me, along with my old Apple TV 4K streaming box. This was the pair I had in my master bedroom in New York that was very seldom used. For now, we have it set up in the new place's living room, and there they will remain until we get a new 75-inch television. I'm not bragging here, I'm just telling you the facts. I'll probably put this setup in my office/recording studio at that time. Our current LG 65-inch model will find a home in our front room. The front room is like an extra living room located at the front of the house. For us northerners, it's kind of awkward having a room there, but I recall seeing houses in Georgia that had the same room. Only it was called a day room. I guess this is a southern thing. Other than that, there's nothing really to report on. I'm in a holding pattern as far as tech goes until our move is completed, and I figure October will see a burst of new tech purchases. Entertainment news. Anyone remember Redbox?
Yes.
No.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this, or this, or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Redbox is, well, I guess it's now was, a company that rented out DVDs using their distinctive red kiosks. Anywhere strategically placed at grocery stores, convenience stores, and department stores. Redbox quickly rose to displace traditional rental outlets like Blockbuster and also rose to dominance within the physical media rental business. I used them quite a bit back in what I and others would consider being the day. To rent a DVD would cost you a buck a night, and sometimes Redbox would throw you a bone and you would get to rent two movies for a buck or something similar. Streaming content eventually became a thing and my use of Redbox dropped off. The company was sold off first to Coinstar, then Apollo Management, and finally to Chicken Soup for the Soul. Last week I reported that Chicken Soup for the Soul went bankrupt, closing down Crackle and all other streaming services that they owned. I hadn't realized that Redbox was part of that outfit. For some reason I thought that Verizon had bought them. I know that at one point, Redbox had an online streaming rental thing going, but I remember the prices were in line with other streaming rental sites, and it sure wasn't a dollar per day anymore. It appears that physical media is rapidly disappearing these days. Sure, you can buy digital copies of movies, but you don't really own them. You should look at purchases of digital media as long-term rentals, because at any time, it can be taken away from you. The same goes with digital music. Times change, but not always for the better. A couple or more episodes ago, I told of the merger of Compound Media and Censor TV, both alternate media companies labeled far-right and racist. Yeah, there's a little bit of truth in those labels. But the same can be said about many other alternative media outlets, no matter what ideology they profess to represent. Though I had subscribed to Compound Media in the past, after the coup, I canceled the subscription and stated that I had no interest in subscribing to the new Compound Censored Media Company formed by the merger. Last week, I received an email from Compound Censored titled, "Welcome Aboard." The text of the email welcomed me as a new subscriber to Compound Censored and told of their future plans. Well, I hadn't signed up and was confused, as you can imagine. I used my bank app to look at my checking account and saw that I was indeed charged $80 for a yearly subscription to the Compound Censored service. But how had this happened? After calling customer service, I found that my subscription details from my old Compound Media account were transferred over to the new media company, and I was charged for a new subscription. I told the representative that I had previously canceled my subscription to Compound Media and had not authorized this new one. Well, she told me that I could cancel my subscription, but it would end next year at this time, meaning no refund. Now, I could have fought this, but I decided that it wouldn't be worth it for the $80. I did check out some of the shows on this new network, but the only one that I somewhat enjoy is the Anthony Cumia show. But old Anthony is not what he used to be, and he's absent most of the time for his 90-minute or less slot. I've already set a notification to remind me to make sure my subscription is canceled fully next year. Well, a federal judge has blocked the launch of the Warner Disney Fox Sports-centric streaming service called Venue. Even some members of Congress are against the service, citing monopolization of sports content. Well, they have a point. I talked about this service on this podcast a few times before, and while I found it interesting, it just wasn't for me. Well, I'm sure the high-powered lawyers these big media companies retain will iron out any bumps that may prevent Venue from being launched, and I predict this new service will be available by the start of the American football season, or maybe shortly thereafter. After the recent, air quotes, merger between Paramount and Sundance Studio, it was decided to close Paramount Studios, whose current productions will be absorbed by the CBS network. This has left me and others wondering what the status of the Paramount Plus streaming service will be. Will it continue chugging on, or will it be discontinued like Paramount Studios? I enjoy many Paramount Plus original shows, and it would be sad to see Paramount Plus go. Paramount Studios is just another casualty of the drive to make movies and television for the modern audiences, who are boisterous but fail to put their money where their loudly complaining mouths are. Translate that to, they don't really care or watch any of the media they scream so loud to ensure that inclusiveness is heavily represented. And you know whom I'm referring to.
Yes.
Paramount, as well as other studios, willfully filled their employment slots with approved races and genders, regardless of the lack of qualifications, talent, or experience these hires had. As a result of this, these studios have been churning out flop after flop, losing millions of dollars. You'd figure the money would eventually run out, and I guess it just about has if the Paramount studio closure serves as an example. Podcast news. Good old Apple has decided that they want a 30% cut of the money that Patreon makes from podcasters.
What the hell?
Many podcasts fund themselves using the Patreon service, and I'm sure Patreon will take that 30% out of the podcaster's end. Hey, the value-for-value model is looking better every day, isn't it?
Yeah, boy.
Apple justifies this because Patreon has both an iOS and Android app and basically bypasses Apple by taking money directly from podcasters without giving Apple a taste. What Patreon could do is just continue having apps and just live on the web. But many people actually do most of their podcast listening via that app. All you would have to do is copy the show's RSS feed and paste it into the podcast app of your choice, and voila, you'll be able to listen to your show. But many don't know how to do this. Me, I'll just sit back and see how things shake out. Do you listen to any podcasts using the Patreon app? I managed to bring the Electrovoice RE320 microphone with me this time, and I'm using it to record this very episode. How does it sound? I feel that my voice sounds better on this mic than the Rode Procaster I've been using to record episodes down here, with the added bonus of not having to do much post-processing.
Yay!
Do you hear a difference? Drop me a line at ofntpodcast.com and let me know your opinion. Oh, I have a podcast to recommend if you're into the horror genre. It's an audio drama called Ominous Thrill. The podcast comes out monthly. Give it a listen. I think you'd enjoy it. Well, the music is playing on this humid southern evening, and the episode has started its wind down. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will, of course, be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. I really would, so drop me a line. I'm begging here. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Well, the sun is going down and the bugs are starting to come out and bite, so Why don't you relieve yourself by getting off my lawn? Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.